As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is Warriors All 82. No, I am not Anthony Slater. Anthony Slater's, he's here, but he's in the shooting position. I'm the point guard tonight.
I'm playing off ball tonight. I'm looking at you. I'm like, I'm open, bro. I'm open.
We need to hear the clap. If I don't hear the clap, I don't see it.
How about the Kevin Durant penguin slap? Yeah, they used to call that in Oklahoma City when Russell Westbrook wouldn't get into the ball.
We're here after the Warriors 122-114 win, which was almost a choke job. But as we've said on Warriors Plus Minus, the Kings might be the better team, but the Warriors have number 30, and that was the difference tonight. We actually have a representative from the Sacramento Kings media. His name is Donnie Simpson from KBLX.
What's going on, Hunter Patterson?
Donnie Simpson. Did you just make that name up on the fly?
No, Donnie Simpson, he's not KBLX, but he's a famous back. You know that, like, when the radio go at night and then it's like all R&B love songs and that guy.
Smooth jazz at 11 p.m.
That's Donnie Simpson, famous for that. Before you were born. Don't worry about it. But this is Hunter Patterson, one of our up-and-coming writers from The Athletic. He's all in Kings country. This might be All 82 for Warriors or Kings. Like, it's a lot of Kings knowledge in here. Let's start with you, Slater. What's the story of tonight?
I mean, it was obviously Steph Curry, which you will be writing about. What do you finish with? 41? 41 points. So 91 points in the last two games here. In two, like, big games for the Kings, right? Obviously, Game 7 was. But tonight even felt like, all right, you know, let's answer for the playoffs. And, you know, it was him. It was that I would say the middle meat of the game, the Kings had a chance to blow it out, and he dragged them back. And then late, when it felt like the Kings had, like, the Warriors shuddering a little bit, turning it over at pretty much every opportunity.
8 fourth-quarter turnovers.
Yes. And I know you'll write about this, and I know you asked some about it, and we'll credit there's a little credit to Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins for, like, this the game-sealing night-night celebration, which I asked him if he did it. Ever thought he would do it a little bit too early. But it was a sweet Andrew Wiggins pass, and it was, like I said, you can give the hockey assist to Chris Paul because he said, hey, Andrew Wiggins, Domantas Sabonis is guarding you. Get the ball, run an action with Steph Curry, and that sealed the game.
That's exactly why they want Chris Paul for moments like that. Obviously, you want him having assists. You want him, you know, scoring, hitting his mid-range. He was getting to the rim a little bit tonight, but it's those moments when everything is falling apart. You need somebody with the wherewithal to tell somebody what to do. And Draymond's not playing. He's normally that guy. So it was Chris Paul. One of the talking points was how the Kings have been doing a lot of talking since the last playoff series about how, hey, you know, they're not the little brother. And, you know, Warriors got lucky. Steph Curry just got hot. But, you know, they're as good. Coming into this, what was the Kings, you know, disposition as far as this rivalry is going, Hunter?
I think physicality. They wanted to try to get up into whoever they were guarding, namely Steph. Didn't really happen. 91 in his last two games here. So I think a big thing, too, was just the turnovers. The I mean, it was an 8-point game. The Warriors had 26 points off the Kings' 14 turnovers. So, I don't know. I think you can kind of close that margin a little bit by just not making simple mental mistakes that they did.
This is a Kings home opener. It was lit, and they do not light the beam. Any possible future ramifications for this, or is this just game two of 82?
Yeah, Fox said it. I mean, 82 games. This is the second one. So I don't think it's that deep. But I do think they're probably getting sick of losing to the Warriors by now.
That's what De'Aaron Fox is supposed to say, right? 82 games left. Is that a coping mechanism?
I mean, I'm sure this one hurts, but I will give you a possible ramification. Kevin Herter's job job security is wavering, I think, a little bit. What did he finish tonight?
0 for 5, 0 points.
So he's now 1 of 12 on the season. So he's not shooting well. He didn't shoot well in the playoffs. And then, obviously, defensively, he was supposed to shoot himself, into his position so much that his defense wouldn't be a problem. Now that he's not shooting, you can see Mike Brown. You saw it in the preseason. For one game, he benched him for Chris Duarte. Chris Duarte closes the first half tonight. You mentioned the physicality. They came back late because Duarte and Fox really turned it up on the perimeter. That was Monk in the playoff series. Tonight it was Duarte, really chasing around Steph, not Davion Mitchell. It's interesting to me that that's who Mike Brown seems to be choosing over Davion Mitchell, over Malik Monk, over Kevin Herter. And as far as ramifications, Marcus mostly is joking.
I'm trying to start something here. Come on, guys.
They play again Wednesday, by the way, in Chase. And the last time the Kings were in Chase Center, that game 6. So, if they can answer Wednesday, then it's somewhat even. But ramification-wise, will Kevin Herter be even starting on Wednesday is my question.
The reason I feel like he's choosing Duarte because it's the best combination of offense and defense. But tonight, Duarte didn't hit, so – He left a window. He left a sliver for Kevin Herter, but Kevin Herter comes in, gets a wide open look. His fifth three misses it, and Mike Brown automatically looks at it like, this dude's not going to make any shots. Come out of the game. Get out of here. But maybe next game he'll catch. I don't know. I feel like the Kings are a much better team, and the Warriors are not much better than the Warriors. They're a better team than they show. The Warriors are just a bad matchup because it's the one – it's the one team that pressure defense, it doesn't stop Steph. It'll slow him up. It'll make him, but it doesn't. He just moves off the bar. So it's almost like most other teams, it'll cause a bunch of problems. But for Steph, it doesn't.
For the Warriors, sometimes it does. I mean, look, they nearly blew this because the pressure made them turn it over, as you mentioned, 8 times. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's some horrible matchup. I just think Steph Curry is, dragged under this.
Yeah, that's the matchup. Steph Curry's there.
I'm also wondering – and don't really think that Keegan's going to go 6 for 16 again. He had a few in and outs.
3 of 11 from 3.
I don't see that happening again. I think the more he gets going offensively, the more effort he wants to put in defensively.
You see him get kind of pissed off tonight when he got hit by Clay and no call in the arena, kind of going wild. And he had a two or three possession sequence after that. He was pissed off. He got to the little hook, the offensive rebound. Mm-hmm. I think that's the Keegan Murray they'd like to see a little bit more. You don't need to get hit in the nose to turn it up like that.
He did get hit in the face. Another really important storyline from the Warriors, because even though we got Hunter here, it still is Warriors all 82, buddy. But
by the way, you were point guarding this show like a Chris Paul. It's just excellent.
We'll see what happens in the fourth quarter because it didn't stop the turnovers.
Hey, why don't we talk about Chris Paul? He had 12.
That's where I was going. Hold on. Stop trying to take my assist, Andrew Wiggins. The first, I know, right? The first half, second unit, I think they were
minus 10
when Steph sits. And it looked like the Kings were in the driver's seat, ready to take this over. Third quarter, Steph happens. He goes off. And then they try it again with the second unit. They were much better this time around. Chris Paul, much like the second half of the Phoenix game, is like, hey, you put the big on me, I'm going in. We see 38-year-old Chris Paul driving. He's orchestrating Clay coming off screen, setting up stuff. Wasn't this this was the Chris Paul they expected with the second unit, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, he mentioned a post game, but because of the way teams have to guard the Warriors shooters, and the fact that, you know, a lot of times he's out there with Saric as the five, he's like, this is as open as the paint's been in a while, and you're seeing it. He has not been shooting layups the last few years. Like, the closest he gets is like 8 feet out. Right now, like,
he's literally getting to the rim.
He can't believe it either. He was like, layups. And now he's really mad at himself about the mid-range. He said he thinks he's 1 of 17 from the mid-range. I think that's an exaggeration. But, yeah, he looks good, by the way. So 12 assists. So he's 21 assists and 4 turnovers through 2 games. Honestly, that's a bad finish because at one point he was 19 assists, 1 turnover for the season. But, yeah, it's working. It's working on the court, and as we've mentioned on several podcasts, it's really working off the court. You're in that locker room, Marcus. Like, he's just, like, fitting in very well. He's very easy to converse with, not only for me and you to converse with, but clearly for teammates.
He's like, holding court with the whole team.
Yeah, everybody. And he's just smart. He just has the wisdom, and you just forget, not even just how many years he's played, but, you know, it's like I'm talking to him tonight and we're talking a little bit about Oklahoma City, and he's, like, talking about his, like, mentorship of Shea, and he's, like, about to call Shea because they beat Cleveland tonight, and it's just like, you just, like, oh, yeah, this guy's, like, mentored, like, half the league.
Oh, yeah, he was talking to Corey Joseph about how when Corey Joseph was 15, he used to hang with Chris Paul at Wake Forest, and he's like, hey, yeah, man, remember I used to hang with us?
Steph, so what year is this for Steph?
15, right?
Yeah, he was Steph's mentor when Steph was young. So,
Yeah. No question. Just, North Carolina connection.
I mean, we know this stuff, but when you're really around it, you're just like, okay, yeah, you see it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So, why can't they guard Chris Paul?
Pick and roll defense ain't where it needs to be. So, first and foremost, I think they may not have expected this, which kind of goes to game plan a little bit. But
Ooh, that's a shot at Mike Brown, right?
I wouldn't say that. Who's really expect? I mean, before the season started, honest opinions from both of y'all. Y'all expected this to be CP?
See? Maybe.
That was a deep breath.
He's playing better than I thought right away. He's fit in better. I mean, I feel like now in retrospect it makes sense because I'm like, you know, he's like, dude, I've adapted to every team I've been on. I mean, he is just an extremely smart player. Now, I think one of the things that has helped him early on, it sounds weird, but no Draymond. Because Draymond, like him and Draymond are really going to overlap as far as like playmaking, need the ball, need to kind of control some stuff. So it might get a little bit thornier then, but I think he's kind of free to be the point guard, which so it is kind of more comfortable for him than it probably would have been if Draymond was out there.
The issue is like, who do they commit? Especially when Chris Paul's on the court together, they put so many resources at Steph. Mm-hmm. Like now you got somebody you actually have to deal with where. In the past, you know, Jordan Poole didn't play that great in the playoffs, so you kind of didn't have to deal with that so much. So I remember they were playing Terrence Davis. Like, Now it's like, all right, if you got to put two defenders out there to slow down the point guard, that's becoming a problem. That's why I think you saw Chris Duarte.
The point
guard,
you mean?
The point with a D, with a W, G-A-W-D.
Well, by the way, I wanted to ask you, what do you like? Warriors fans are all in. It's not even just the Warriors, like people and like Steve Kerr, and they are all in on Chris Paul. They're in love with him at this point. Warriors fans are kind of in right now.
Are they in?
It feels like it to me. I feel maybe people could tweet at me who listen to this, like Warriors All 82 listeners, but like it feels like he has suddenly and quickly gained a very high approval rating because. You know, last season I think was hard on a lot of people. You know, some of the mistakes and the strange play, and obviously, you know.
It was a rough season for a lot of Warriors fans. Yeah.
And I just think just the calmness, the assist to turnover, just even like some of the antics.
I do feel like when the ball is in the hands of Chris Paul, a lot of people feel better. Like, all right, it's not going to be a turnover here. It's not going to be a turnover. But I did want to get to depth. Oddly enough, I mean, the Kings were supposed to, you know, deal with some depth issues. They got, you know, Sasha Vazenkov, right?
Why didn't he play Vazenkov more? He hit two threes early. I mean,
he can't guard anybody.
I was going to say, defense is actually the answer, yeah. But I don't know. Like,
he was chucking, too, boy. He came in, like, they were like.
He cuts well, too. I didn't really expect him to be, like, that intuitive when people overplay him. He cuts and kind of opens the floor up a little bit for the Kings.
10 points in 12 minutes and a plus one. Yeah. And like, I didn't mind the deep three because he just hit two. He's a shooter.
Yeah. No, to me, that's what stood out. Like he it's a very Klay Thompson. Like,
Fox found him for it, too.
Yeah. It was like, it's very like Klay Thompson. Like, hey, I'm here to do my thing. Yeah, like, yeah. If I'm, there's no hesitation. No, like, let me work my way in.
No Omri Caspi out there.
But interestingly enough, the Warriors bench really outplayed the Kings bench. Tell us what you're writing about.
Yeah, I'll probably mostly focus on Moody and Kuminga. Obviously, it's two games into year three, but it dates back further, right? It's the preseason, it's camp, it's the lead up even the last 2 years. Moody's playoffs last year, Kerr has mentioned a couple times. They look like must play rotation guys. So Kuminga, 26 minutes off the bench tonight. He's at plus 9, 12 points, 5 rebounds, including a massive defensive rebound down the stretch. Moses Moody, 10 points. He's a plus 11. He plays 21 minutes. The plan, the script going into the game, the first two games, has not been to give Moses Moody 20 minutes. He's played himself into probably an extra 6-7. Three steals. I thought one of the biggest sequences of the game was Moody hits a three, which, by the way, his shot looks great right now. He hits a three. Then on the other end, he like reads a baseline pass. It might have been by Fox to the corner. And he steals it as he's falling out of bounds, kicks it to Paul, who hits it ahead to Klay. And this is when Steph's about to re-enter. And this is at the end of a stint that they were very plus without Steph. And did you remember Steph's about to enter, but he's hanging out with Kenny Atkinson?
Yeah,
like on Kenny Atkinson's back. They're piggybacking, like, please hit this, Klay, like right in front. And then Klay hits it. And at the time it felt kind of like that's game. No, it didn't end up being it. But to me, that little pocket right there, that was all Moses Moody. That's hustle. That's his shot. They love how he's playing right now.
Hunter, if you were general manager of the Kings, who's the one guy on the Warriors bench you would put on the Kings to make them instantly better right now?
I mean, I can't say Moody after as much credit as you just gave him. So it would have to probably.
Would that be him, though?
I mean, he is in the right place at the right time all the time. So I think he would bring more stability, but I think I really like the way Kuminga just crashes the glass. He got an offensive interference at one point in the game just because he was crashing and didn't care who was in front of him. He did have a tip dunk at one point, and I think the Kings just need that energy.
You want to know a funny story about the tip dunk? Marcus was in the locker room, too. The tip dunk was – nobody would ever say this because it was his teammate, but it was on Trayce Jackson-Davis. And Trayce was kind of, like, sad in the locker room. Like, he felt like he got dunked
on. He's like, man, my own guy dunked on me. Yeah.
But I'm like, I didn't know – like, does that count?
It counts for Trayce. Maybe it counts for
– it clearly counted for him, which we should probably – he was on the court, by the way. That's another –
that's another thing, yeah. Good. I asked Kuminga about it. He was like, Kuminga's response, better get used to it. There's more coming.
Yeah. He was saying that, and then Kuminga was the last guy in the locker room tonight, and Paul was leaving, and Kuminga was telling them they need to connect on some lobs. because he was like, Draymond throws me a lot of lobs, but, you know, Chris is going to. And then Chris was like, I told you, get ahead of the play. I'll find you. So they think it's coming. We'll see. But we really haven't seen the lob game, the Chris Paul lob game. Should we talk about Trayce Jackson Davis?
We should, but I want to be sure. You say Kuminga, right?
I'm saying Kuminga, yeah.
What if it could be Wiggins? Would you take Wiggins or Kuminga?
Wiggins coming off the bench?
No, Wiggins, put one of them on the Kings. Wiggins or Kuminga, which one are you
talking? This season or overall?
Right now.
Right now, give me JK.
Mm. Ooh, that's a hot take. I was trying to get a hot take out of it.
What I've seen, I think Kuminga just seems like he has support from like 1 to 15, all the coaches. And if he's not crashing the glass, he's almost in trouble. So I think that coupled with a couple threes and just his overall athleticism and, like, urge to play, I think I'm taking him over Wiggs off the bench at this point.
Wow. You know who I think the head coach might pick? Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, that's who he's picking. That's exactly who he's picking as GP. Ooh, hit a three. GP two, hit a three. So the insertion of Trayce Jackson Davis when Sarge has had four fouls points to, like, first off, the fact that he's throwing this rookie out here. Like, you know.
We talked about it, right?
It was coming. You could feel like it was coming.
He was searching. Yeah. I mean, I even kind of asked him about it. He skirted around it a little bit. And again, it was Sarge got foul trouble. That's why I put him in. But I just felt like Steve has been wanting to put him in. And he mentioned it. Different element. Lob threat, verticality at the rim. They think he's going to be good. You know, I've asked the Warriors people at times over the course of the summer into even now, right? Jeremiah Robinson Earl was cut recently. That's an interesting big. They don't want anyone blocking Trayce Jackson Davis because they think he's going to be pretty good. And honestly, like, I see what they see. Like, he seems like he's right now, like, can be a rotation big. Like, nothing terrific and outstanding, but, like, doesn't make mistakes, efficient, pretty good at the rim, big, yeah. Somewhat of a shot blocking threat, which
physical,
they don't really have, and smart and very easy to get along with in the locker room, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know, he checks a lot of boxes for like what you want.
You know, it was interesting with the Kings, who can throw multiple bigs at you. I mean, it was a lot of JaVale McGee tonight, right? But you know, we've seen Alex Lynn come in, and they just have that size. Even Harrison Barnes plays big against the Warriors because he's physical. To me, you know, the fact that they're doing this, everybody wanted the Warriors to get a big, and it makes perfect sense. Size is going to be their issue all season.
They draft him.
Can he? Yeah, that's the question. Is can he be that? He's probably better than who they could have gotten, right? I mean, that's his bottom line, right? He's probably better than who they could have gotten.
Let me ask you: do you think right now they prefer having Trayce Jackson Davis or Dwight Howard? Who's
it? I mean, they clearly made a choice, right? Like, they could have had Dwight Howard.
You don't
Howard.
Need to go deep into that, but. They drafted a big. That's what, and they gave him, by the way, two guaranteed year deal, and he's on a 4-year deal now. The last two are team options, but incredibly cheap and looks to me like a player. But we don't need to get too much into him. We played 4 minutes, didn't take a shot, got dunked on apparently.
Any silver lining that Fox looked like fourth quarter Fox again? Man, he was just unstoppable. Even Steph was like, sometimes there's nothing you can do. He's just so good.
Yeah, I think he was talking about it a little bit in the post-game presser, but he has to harness that. So it's not like he always has to be fourth-quarter Fox. Fourth-quarter Fox is a good thing, but it's like
– you want him to be first-quarter Fox instead?
First, second, third, and fourth. So
you want him to have 100 points?
Nah, I think, like, just evenly distribute the scoring. You don't have to just put 20 up in every quarter. And I think he's aware of it, too. He has to kind of harness that intensity throughout the game and not just call on it when it has to be called on.
He has a difficult job this year, though, because you saw it in the fourth when he turned it up on offense. He also turned it up on defense. Yeah. And he can be a really good perimeter defender. And the tough part for him and Mike Brown, clearly, is like, you don't want your best scorer to also have to be your, like, hardest working perimeter defender. But he's the best at both, right? So,
especially facing these guards, right? Like, there was a time where, like, Chris Paul's bringing it up and he's got the ball and Fox is on him and he kicks it ahead to Saric. He's like, yeah, I'm not fooling with you, man. Like, because Fox is, like, sneaky, right? Like, you know, so it almost feels like you go put him on every guard, Jamal Murray, Steph Curry. But, you know, Hunter is saying, yeah, do that and get 20 a quarter, right?
That's not at all what I'm saying, no. I think it's just a matter of not having to always score 20 to 30 or 20 to.
Isn't that on his teammates to actually, like, you know, make shots?
That is. That is. But I think there's a balance, though, of just being aggressive throughout the game that he's capable of.
He does kind of have a tendency to ease his way, lull his way into games. I think it's somewhat of his personality.
I think this was a strategic thing. Like Steve said, they were taking away threes. Yeah. So it opened up the middle. He's got a drive. And, I mean, Looney is great against the Kings usually, but he doesn't see a rim protector when he's coming off the screen. They're chasing over the top. Like, that's a cakewalk for De'Aaron Fox. That's what he does, right?
Yeah, I mean, they also, you were talking about threes getting taken away. They took 40 tonight, and at the end of the first quarter, they were like 6 of 13-ish, something like that, and then they just flamed out. So, I, again, don't think they're going to be 12 of 40.
But I do think that's part of it is because they're like, they're contesting, they're making them make, you know, there was a lot of extra pass threes in the first half. The Warriors are like, hey, man, just – they feel fine with Fox going to the rim. Like, just don't let Keegan Murray go crazy from three. Like, it feels like that's what they prefer.
I mean, the Kings making 12 threes and Fox hitting 5 of them is not their typical formula. You know, he's the one supposed to be passing out to the threes, but that's where Herter's, like, disappearing act is hurting them a lot. And, you know, I mean, Keegan Murray, 3 of 11. It's okay.
Not really okay. It's kind of bad.
Yes, it's not usual, but I don't know. Anything else, Warriors?
No Corey Joseph tonight?
They're only playing 9. I mean, their 9's firm. By the way, Draymond Green went live after shoot-around day. We actually got booted at the end of shoot-around because Draymond was setting up for a 5-on-5. And he's going to practice tomorrow, and it sounds like Houston's a possibility for a return. You know, he's going on the trip. If it's not Houston, it might be New Orleans, but it's close. It's very close. And that does, that scrambles. I know it's only 2 games in, but you're starting to feel like, oh, it's kind of a firm 9-man rotation. They're figuring some stuff out. Draymond is going to complicate things again in a crowded rotation.
It feels like they're going to go 2-point guards. It's either Steph or Chris Paul, or is that a Kings thing? Like, hey, if you play a good team, we're not going to throw a third PG out there. But it's like, there was a point, too, where Steph, I think he finished the – well, first off, he had that weird rotation pattern where he sat the last, 4 minutes of the first quarter and then didn't come in to like, 9 minutes in the second quarter. That was, like, a long 7-minute stretch there. But he came out in the middle of the fourth when you thought, like, hey, he might play the whole fourth. Came out a couple minutes, and that got him under 35, but he was on pace for 37. So it was like – it feels like they're trying to keep the minutes down, but also play both of them and only them. At some point, it feels like they might need a third point guard somewhere. But maybe against lesser teams, you can get away with it.
Draymond Green
is going to have to play some third point guard.
I mean, what does Draymond Green really think he is?
Position? Point forward.
There you go.
Old school Billy Owens. You don't know nothing about Billy Owens. Before the Kings were, you know, any good, they had this guy named Billy Owens out of Syracuse, lefty. He was the original point forward. Like, you were not born. It doesn't matter. So I'm educating you now.
96?
Yes.
Could you be the third point guard? I mean, the way you're, you know, leading this show.
Yeah, I'm being my Andrew Wiggins tonight. He made the pass of his life. He's trying to tell me that he's got dimes, but I'm like, you ain't never made a pass like that. And I do think he's an underrated passer, but that was kind of a spectacular pass. So I feel obligated to match Wiggins' energy and be a point guard. You know what I'm saying? Drop dimes. You feel me?
I do. But speaking of dimes, too, I think Malik off the bench.
He was kind of trash.
I'm talking about Malik, the assister right now. So he second behind Domas. Him and JaVale have a little bit of chemistry, but I think the more it can kind of be him and Domas at some point in the game, later in the games, that could be beneficial for the Kings.
I don't know. He only played 18 minutes. A notorious Warrior killer. I thought we'd see more from him.
Notorious. Well, Duarte, 26 minutes. I think the Kings got to get Trey Lyles back and go to Trey Lyles at the 5. I mean, JaVale McGee is a backup center, but I mean, how many mistakes did JaVale McGee make tonight? How about him going to like the hook at one point? I don't know. In my opinion, I just think Trey Lyles at the five, more small ball. More Vezenkov I would like to see. But that's me.
That's all you get. All right. Slater's out of here. He's heading to Houston and New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then I'll holler at y'all back. We might do.
I think we might do Monday night after the New Orleans game, like a plus minus.
All right, yeah, we can do that. Hunter Patterson, what's going on with your life after this?
We don't care.
We're out of here.
No, we do care. Big game Sunday.
I was about to say, I'll be back Sunday. So, Lakers.
Lakers?
Yeah, Lakers Kings. I'll actually see y'all Wednesday.
I can't even troll him without, like, I'm just trying to troll him.
That's my man right there. But I'll also be at what should still be Oracle, but Chase on Wednesday. So, I'll see y'all.
November 1st for USC legend Hunter Patterson, for Warriors extraordinaire Anthony Slater. I am your point guard, Marcus Thompson.
I thought you were about to give Oklahoma State a shout out there. I mean, you went USC.
Okay.
He was actually going on earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of rocking with Pac-12. You feel me? That's our West Coast league. We out of here. We got one more year, so forget y'all. Y'all already get everything over in the Big 12. Like, forget y'all.
We need a win tomorrow.
Yeah, you do. All right, we're out of here. Peace.